They say when you know better, you do better. Not always. This right here is me looking to know better and do better. So if this is your first time, welcome. If you've been here before, shit, welcome back. And wherever you are, I hope that you use this podcast to help get yourself out of your own mental traps, your own emotional traps. Because it ain't just about the fucking music. Because really the only beat that matters is the one that's in your fucking chest. So welcome to episode 5. Let's get it cracking. Yo, grab your tea or your Hennessy. Sit back, listen to some dope beats. My name is Mila. Welcome to Confessions of a Trap Yogi. I confess, I love music. I confess, I love love. I confess, I have moments that I doubt myself. I confess, life as a yogi is dope as hell. Yes, life as a yogi is dope as hell. But life, period, is dope as hell. Being alive is such an amazing feeling. Yeah, no, things can get really crazy and relationships can get confusing and jobs can get challenging. People on your jobs can get challenging, but at the end of the day, you are still here. You are here right now with breath in your body. Your heart is beating, and that is something to hold on to. So love your life and love being alive, y'all. And welcome to episode 5, y'all. I am still on cloud 9 with all of the love that I've been receiving for the various podcasts, and y'all really like that trigger happy bitch episode. I know why, too. It's a really meaty meaty and filling episode. I actually went back and listened to it twice already this week. Like, I need some truth in my life. Listening to myself speak to myself is such a rewarding experience. You don't know. For everybody who's looking to keep in contact with me, you can find me on social media at KelsTheYogi, KelsTheYogi. That's on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you'd like to stay in contact with me through my newsletter that I offer every month, visit my instructor page at www.milakmarshall.com. I have to send some shout outs to people. You know, February is the month of love and new friendships, and that's really what I talked about in my newsletter. And I have to say thanks to Jabba for inviting me to be a part of the Flight 35 and Over League here in Chicago. I am the official league yogi, so shout out to all of the players who started the league this past Sunday. Lots of people were out of town for the NBA All-Star Weekend in California. So for everybody that was there, I hope you made it back to the crib safely and you had a good time and you really enjoyed yourselves while you were away. Can't wait to meet all the players that, you know, missed the first game and other people. If you don't know about the league, check us out. You can find them on my Instagram page. We'll be at High Park High School every single Sunday. First game starts at 11. I think the last game is at 2:45. There are 8 teams in the league. We have some vendors there, and then the pop-up flex studio for the players as well as spectators. You're always more than welcome to come over and get a stretch out. And even the refs. Shout out to the refs that came over and hollered at me, and all of the people that stopped by to check out, you know, Yoga for Ballers. So one time for new friends, and Java, thank you so very much. You're such an inspiration. I love what you do, love what you're about. You're just a great guy. Speaking of friends If you got the February newsletter, you'll see that I had some new voices. Sojourner, who is a really good friend of mine, we met on the beach. She has a little love note in there. And my very first guest ever on Confessions of a Trap Yogi, who's also in the newsletter, I have to say I'm just so excited for her to be here. And I want her to say hello. So Shay, welcome.
Hello, world.
You kind of sounded like Old Dirty Bastard for a minute.
Well, hey, at least I'm staying with the theme.
What, you're old and dirty or a bastard?
All of the above.
In no specific order.
Oh
my God. So welcome to the show. How do you feel being like the very first guest?
Oh, I feel honored. I feel honored. You could have had anyone, but you chose me. And sometimes I'm like, you know, what am I saying? Sometimes I wonder what's coming out of my mouth. So I feel honored. So thank you.
I feel that way all the time. You know what? I always look at my kids' faces when I'm talking shit to them. And I'm wondering, like, what are they thinking of me right now? They're probably calling me all sorts of old dirty bastards. Maybe with a different B word, though.
Exactly. Hilarious.
Well, nonetheless, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you. If you got the newsletter, this is Shay on page 3 from Maroon Village. I want you to introduce yourself to everybody, talk a little bit about what it is that you do, and maybe even share a bit about Maroon Village, how people can, you know, kind of get an understanding of what it is that you have to offer.
Awesome. So my name is Shay, and I am currently a stay-at-home mom. I just, my husband and I have two toddlers. Our son Leo will be 4, and then our daughter just turned 2. So our hands are full. When I'm not busy chasing them around, I am either writing or collaborating with the amazing people that are in Chicago on different ways we can be creative and innovative in the city, doing things that are going to uplift our youth, which leads me to Maroon Village, which is the nonprofit my husband and I just launched this past fall of 2017.
So where can people find out more information on Maroon Village?
My www.hellomaroonvillage.org, and there you'll see a little bit more about who we are and what we do. But when it comes to like who I am as a person, man, I'm just somebody who I'm just trying to take it day by day using the tools that I've gained over the years of trials and triumphs.
I feel you. I remember when we connected and we found that one thing that we share in common is our passion for yoga for athletes. So I know you said you play softball.
Soccer.
I know that. I'm like, there's a ball in there somewhere.
Exactly.
So I was a swimmer, and I played water polo and ran track. And there was at no point in time an introduction of yoga or flexibility, none of that shit. Like, there was nothing to help protect our bodies. It was all about trying to be as fast as you possibly could be, and strength train so that you can be as fast as you possibly can be. And that's one of the things that really attracted me to, you know, working with Maroon Village is an intentional focus on providing yoga for athletes, you know? And I don't think you mentioned that your husband used to play in the NFL?
I did not. He's retired. He played for 4 years. I met him after he retired, so I didn't get to experience that, but I get to experience all the fruits of his hard work.
Yeah.
But, you know, he definitely has a lot that he brings to Maroon Village, and I'm so, you know, grateful to be working next to somebody who is, you know, that experienced.
Yeah. I was going to say the fruits of a hard body, but then I was like, maybe that's slightly too ratchet.
You know, this is trap confessions of a trap yogi. So I don't think ratchet is excluded.
Girl, let me be quiet. So, I'm like, where do we start? I do have a format, and I know I shared that with you. And for my listeners that have been kind of tuning in, each show is a little different. I've decided to do 3 shows a month. And every month, it'll kind of follow the same kind of three outlines. And for episode 2 of every month, I do something called Rip from the Headlines. And then we'll have a moment of kind of checking in for how you live in, reflections, revelations, and reservations. And then we will get into our topic for today. How's that sound?
It sounds amazing.
Nice, nice, nice. So, Rip from the Headlines. Dun, dun.
I'm ready.
My Law and Order SVU. So Rip from the Headlines is kind of a nod to, you know, Law and Order, because we love drama. Which I stopped watching Law and Order because I had to ask myself, like, why am I like entertained by like child abduction? And, you know, like, I get that it helps awareness, but at the same time, it's kind of twisted for me to watch it like every single day, you know? So I kind of stopped, but I did carry with me the significance of Rip from the Headlines, because you really do get to get real life stories and unpack them a little bit. So, this Rip from the Headlines is about our dear Mother Badu. So I was sharing with you a little earlier before we got on, Erica is being, I think social media loves the word slammed.
Yeah,
she is taking some heat for some comments in a recent interview with Vulture that you can find online. And I don't know if you got a chance to look it over, but, you know, they were kind of just going back and forth about, you know, what is Baduism and how she thinks and how she approaches things. And, you know, something had come up between, she made some comments about Farrakhan or something like that, and that's not what caught my attention, but she made some comment, or a comment, referring to Hitler and saying that even Hitler, you know, had some good that was a part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviewer just was not having it, wasn't happy with the fact that she had made that statement about this this man who had caused so much pain. And as I read it, and he or she, I'm not even sure, I didn't pay attention, which is kind of like a stain on me, but this person made a statement that made me really kind of like jump back, where they said that a person who has done such evil does not deserve empathy or compassion. And the interviewer was not happy, or the word that the interviewer used was disheartened. They were disheartened that Erica felt this empathy, or this empathetic energy for Hitler. So I wanted to ask you, has anyone ever been mad at you for not being mad enough about something or someone?
You know, honestly, it's usually me.
Yeah. Not
me being upset with my husband for not being mad enough at other people, which then when I realize that I'm getting upset with him, I have to check myself. And it's interesting that the person said they felt disheartened that she, you know, showed empathy in that manner, because it's disheartening that we forget that everybody, no matter if they have done evil or if they, you know, have done extraordinary things, we forget that everybody came from somebody and went through a childhood that we don't necessarily know anything about. you know, and childhood or not, these, like, we are all humans that started out as little people that had no control over, you know, how we were cared for.
How we were
for.
Shaped and created, yeah. Yeah, and,
exactly.
And it's the, you know, it's scary to think that, well, not scary, but it's reality that people are unforgiving. Nobody has to forgive. I'm never like forgiveness shaming. Like, right. You didn't forgive, or you forgave too fast enough, or why? I've never asked those questions, really. And I started to think, like, how is her sharing the reality of, you know, what is true, how is that perceived and taken, right? So the interviewer heard her say, and what she was speaking of was that he was a good painter. You know, it's not like the woman said that he was, you know, caring and a loving pet owner, right? Like, it's not as though she was implying anything emotional or energetic about him. However, after doing a little digging, somebody a few years ago, maybe it was 2016, before Erica even made these statements, and maybe that's where she got the information from, that his work, his paintings were amateurish, but they were not abominations. So,
I've seen them. And, you know, I read about, I didn't read the interview with Erica, but I read up on Hitler years ago and knew this story about him, you know, facing this rejection of this passion that he had for art. And you don't know what that did to him. Maybe that was his only saving grace in, you know, whatever was going on in his world. And then to have that rejection, like, you know.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. But, you know, what got me was the dismissal of what else is true and how people ascribe value to the intensity of your hate or disdain. It's kind of like, so, you know, working in the environment, you know, living in Chicago and living in the Great Lakes region and the Midwest, you know, two words describe us: the Rust Belt, right? For many reasons that are absolutely true. But last year I suggested, why can't we call ourselves the Water Belt? Because that also is true. How is it that you decide what to dismiss and give more energy, even though both of them are equally true? And I felt like that was another really good example of, she wasn't saying that what he did was right. She wasn't supporting his politics. She did not question his humanity. She simply said that she chooses to see the good that is in people, because there is something there. And I often talk about, like, how, you know, how we perceive other people's statements and what we think they mean. I don't know what the rest of the interview entailed or involved. I am happy to know that she stood firm on, like, fuck that. Like, I said what the fuck I said. You know, I said that I see good. I see good in all people. So what the fuck is your problem? She even sees good in the interviewer who's pressing her and judging her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, her compassion runs deep, you know? Like, and it's not coming from a place of, like, judgment. It just kind of is. And I feel like I've been told, like, I'm too nice and I'm too forgiving and you know, I don't. Or the word naive,
been
called names.
Yeah, I've definitely been told I'm too nice.
Like, why? Like, I've made the necessary changes to protect myself and create boundaries. Just because I'm not walking around angry doesn't mean that I'm not resisting, you know, doesn't mean that I'm not rejecting, doesn't mean that I'm not an ally for the oppressed. It means that I see things differently. It just doesn't change the way that I move. So I was really, really proud of her.
That's inspiring. And I definitely want to check it out. I love Erica Badu. She has been somebody that has gotten me through, you know, the hardest of days. And to know that she shares something that I strive to do as far as seeing good in everyone. Like, that just further makes me feel better that I have her as somebody I look up to.
Yeah. And it's not, again, you know, for those listening who's going, you know, jump on their thumbs and comment negatively, I suggest you listen to episode five. This isn't episode four. Am I tripping? Girl, you didn't even stop me. Yeah, this is, I'm so, look, that's that 312. So I've been drinking Bullet. I've been drinking Bullet and Coke.
I'm drinking Dragon's Milk.
Oh my God. I'm trapped in some alcohol right now. but yeah, go back and listen to Trigger Happy Bish before, you know, you let this commentary trigger you, and really listen to what it is that we're saying. You know, like, oh, thank you for that. Lots of people really enjoyed that. I'm gonna say it fucking loud for the people in the fucking back. Nobody here is supporting Hitler in any way, shape, form, or fashion. What we are specifically talking about is the commentary and interview that Miss Badu gave to Vulture, where she said that everybody has good, even Hitler. She chose him on purpose because he is seen as the epitome of evil. She chose him. I think the only, you know, like, she could say Satan, but I think she would have to say Damien, the angel. Wasn't his name Damien?
Right. So,
like, right. Satan was once an angel. Like, every, you could choose, right. Like, who's eviler? Is that a word? Who's eviler than Satan, I guess? But she chose him because he is seen as the epitome of hate because of what he did. And despite that being true and knowing that as truth, still being able to see the good in a human being who has done some atrocious things. And as a mother, I pray to God that my children never do atrocious things to other people. But I have thought of all of the mothers and fathers of people who have hurt people intentionally, and that seed of love, it could be tiny, and it could be fleeting at moments, but that is still there. And am I mad for those people who still love their children through most, you know, through some shit, you know? Humans are just mean sometimes, man. Like, I wish I was a tree, dude. Shit is hard out here.
Man.
So, we're going to move on to how you living. How you living? Reflections, revelations, reservations. So, you know, we're almost a week to Valentine's Day. Did y'all make it? Was it a good Valentine's Day?
It was awesome. You know, Rich and I, we love to celebrate New Year's and birthdays. Valentine's, it's cool. We had a good day. We don't expect us to get each other gifts or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite thing about Valentine's Day is just seeing everybody else love each other so much.
I know. Isn't it like this really, it's like a whole day hug.
That's such a good way to put it.
Everybody is just like focusing on love and sharing love, whether it's with their kids or with their family members. And, you know, I think everybody's day is better when other people are hyped up off of chocolate.
Right.
So there's that part. And then the colors, you know, everybody's kind of coordinated. And, you know, it's just a really, it's weird. And then that shit goes away.
Right. And then it's back to normal.
Yeah, then it's back like, fuck you the next day.
Exactly. It's back to you still didn't fix the whatever in the kitchen that I asked you to do yesterday.
Right. So any reflections on your month of February so far, or revelations you've had?
You know, February has been like a rebound month for me. January was a really hard month. One of the hardest I've had in a while, just as far as like, because I struggle with depression. So February, I've just been really trying to wake up every day and be like, all right, let's get it. Like, let's do this.
Right.
And not, like, you know, not have any reservations, as you said. So I'm moving this month. That's what I feel like.
Aw, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I feel like February is like flying away.
It's over.
Yeah, I know. Like as I reflect on like the month as it like got away from me, you know, being my birthday month and it's Black History Month and Black Panther came out. You know, it's I just feel like I've been overwhelmingly black.
I love that.
I've been just trying to be as black as possible and questioning like what that means. And I feel as though, you know, like reflecting on everything that I've been through from January 1, have just been focusing on how to be more of myself and less of kind of like these identities that life offers you or places you in. So like being a 37-year-old black woman from the south side of Chicago and a single mom. So I've been kind of reflecting on how do I not separate myself in a shady way, but how do I figure out who I am as a human being with all of these identities that I have, my gender, my race, where I live, my marital status, which don't mean anything, but they do mean something.
That's so crazy. They mean nothing, but yet they mean everything.
They mean everything. I mean, it changes how people interact with you. My Valentine's Day was pretty good. I think I got like 12 heart emojis. I got 3 flower emojis. I got 1 babe. You got to count this shit in emojis now. Like, shit, nothing exists in real life no more. But I'm fine with it. I'm very grateful for everybody who reached out and said Happy Valentine's Day to me. Even if it was a text message, I'm never really judging like, oh, you couldn't pick up no fucking phone. Like, nah, I'm good that people like shared with me. And I'm constantly just so grateful for the people that, you know, that are around me and that support me. That's how I've been living. Oh, and these kids, girl, you got 2, I got 3.
Yeah, what's there to say? That's a whole nother episode.
I know. Being, you know, that's a great episode for us, like mindful mothering.
Ooh, I love it.
I think that would be a good, and if you hear my kids in the background, y'all, these cats won't go to sleep. I'm going to have to, like, drag them out. Right. Like, why don't you go to bed? They don't want to go to bed. And when they go to bed, they don't go to sleep. I don't know what they're doing in there.
Why are you not in bed, Mom?
Right. Girl, I wake up, it's people in my room looking at me. I gotta lock my door.
So, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't have any socks. I don't have no deodorant. I don't have no lotion. They keep taking stuff. I'm just ashy with cold feet. Like, just out here. Bogus.
Well, this is what I have to look forward to in a few years.
You do. So, Shay, are you ready to get into our topic for this episode?
I'm ready.
All right. So, this is inspired. I'm looking at his face right now by one of the most handsome rappers ever and funniest and with the best beard on the West Coast, in my opinion.
You know, I like his name, too.
I like everything about him. So, we are talking about checking yourself. Before you wreck yourself or you wreck your marriage. you out here wrecking your kids, you wrecking your career, you just wrecking your life because you're not checking yourself. I know I have been guilty of needing several seats when I was in a relationship, but in my defense, I got my hands up. Like, in my defense, I was in a really stressful situation, and I was learning some really bad habits. And today, Shay, we're going to talk a little bit about how our practice of yoga and meditation has helped us navigate who we are and how that has impacted our relationships. And what kind of growth have you seen in your life, and how has your partner been receptive not only to your growth and your practice, but also receptive to change you know, that they might be interested in following that. I know that you and Richie Rich practice yoga together. I don't know how it came about and where each of you are along your paths individually. But I know for me, my practice has definitely helped me navigate this this post-divorce dating world.
I bet.
Shit is real out here for single mothers.
Man. It's real in this marriage, so either way, we in it, and this practice is definitely something that is along for the ride.
Right, so how do you, what do you think, like, okay, so I'll ask you for one word. Before yoga was a part of your life, how would you describe your marriage in one word, or your relationship in one word? And then what one word would you give it now with the practice being in your life?
Surface and deep.
Okay.
So surface is before yoga, and deep before the practice, I should say. So everyone listening, you know, not just the movement of the body, my practice is everything. So surface, my relationship before practice, and it's deepened now that I have the practice in my life. So,
in what way would you say that it's deepened?
I think my practice for me specifically has allowed me to be able to dig deeper within myself to figure out what needs I'm really desiring from my partner, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So rather than just being like, you didn't do the dishes, it's deeper than that. And I'm able to figure out what that is. And then I also am able to now find the confidence to say it.
Right. So I feel you, because many, like looking back, many of my relationships have been so superficial, and not in a bad way, but just kind of like top layer shit.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, if I would have had yoga in my marriage, I probably, or had the practice sooner in my marriage, I probably would not have stayed as long. Yoga was a huge part of me getting out of an abusive marriage. Huge part. I was going to, you know, I had these three kids, and I had lost myself in his vision of me, who I should be, how I should look, how I spent my time, who were my friends. I was really just him in my body. It was so fucking weird. So I got introduced to Bikram yoga, and I loved it because it gave me consistency. You know, if you don't know about Bikram, it's the same, I think, 27 poses every single class in the same order, regardless of who teaches it. And I would go to this 90-minute class. Sorry, I'm, like, taking my sweater off. It's hot.
Man, I just took mine off. Oh, that God. Is so funny.
It's freaking hot in here, man. I got this ghetto heat. It's radiant heat. They don't care. You're getting this heat. My lips cracking.
Man.
Oh my God, it's so hot. I think the bullet has something to do with it too. Like that bourbon is spicy.
It's such a good, it's so good.
I know. So, you know, here I am in this 90-minute class multiple times a week, just needing to have some consistency in my life. And in the studio was a mirror, so I got to see myself a lot. And I got to practice boundaries. I got to practice learning what my truth is and who I was. And he wasn't there to negate that, right? Like none of what he said mattered. So the more often I was able to speak to myself, see myself, my practice really did help me kind of clear the fog from who he said I was. Because I was constantly trying to like figure out like why, like am I, how do I live my life in a way that kind of is proactive to show I'm not who he thinks I am. which really isn't living, you know, like,
right.
You're just kind of like moving around life, trying not to offend a motherfucker.
Right.
And I realized, like, the other day I had told my girl Tiff, like, if we had the capacity to count how old we are, by counting the days that we actually lived in our moment, how old would we be? And you might have
a big question.
Yeah, you know, it's like you could be living in a memory. Many people live in the past. Or you could be living someone's version of you, who they say you are. Or you could be living in a way like I was. Excuse me. Like trying to prove you aren't who they say you are. And it saved my family by helping me leave somebody who convinced me that his toxic love was something that I had to tolerate for the rest of my life. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So mine's is a little different, you know. It definitely deepened my closeness to myself, and it didn't make me afraid of getting closer to people, but it definitely made me much more aware of, like, I am in total control of how I feel and function with somebody present and somebody absent.
Yeah.
So how did you come to practice yoga with Rich? How did that happen?
Rich actually started practicing in college. He's a few years, he's your age, actually. So he started practicing in college. So he had the practice before I did.
Mm-hmm.
But us together, he saw how important my practice had become to me. And I think he also just appreciates what it has done to help me as far as just overall. So when I asked him to do an acro yoga challenge on Instagram with me, he didn't hesitate. He was all in it. And we ended up winning, which was actually hilarious. But
I know. I love your pictures, too.
You know, it wasn't hard to get him to start practicing alongside me, because I think he really, because he had touched yoga before and then, you know, could see firsthand how it was really benefiting me. You know, it was one of those like, well, of course I want to be in on this.
Right. And he gets to touch you half naked. Like, who's not going to sign up for that? Man.
You know, sometimes I forget that is a part of. But you're right, it is. And that is, like, you know, you forget, like I just said, you do forget that, like, it's okay to care about each other's bodies in a different way, mm-hmm. You know?
Which is, like, one of the aspects of Touch, the couples class that I'm teaching. And this is not a shameless plug. This is an intentional plug, because this is my motherfucking podcast. Every last Friday of the month, I teach a couples class called Touch that focuses on non-sexual touch. Phenomenal class that I love to teach. And I'm not just saying phenomenal because I'm teaching it, but phenomenal because of the energy of the partners that comes. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about, I know you and Rich had done like another kind of a more personal, intimate challenge of no arguing.
Yes.
And one of the things that I have kind of been sharing, like the benefit of the practice, is learning how to check yourself before you begin to kind of create this situation over really nothing. Sometimes we don't know how to have a conversation about what we really want to talk about. Sometimes low-key we're being bullies. Sometimes we're being manipulative because we want, it's crazy, like people want, how do I say this? Somebody told me, like, well, I say, I'm going to say this and he's going to think that. And when he says this, I'm going to ask him that. I was like, what? Wait, what?
Man, it's like plotting, right?
It is. It absolutely is. And more and more as I listen to women talk, that is the scheming that many men talk about.
Yeah.
And I
used to do it.
You used to be a schemer?
I know. Hell yeah. If I really wanted to, I could do it today, but I'm just not in that place anymore.
Now, what was the intention behind you scheming? Now, I've schemed before because I was afraid of asking directly what it is that I wanted to ask. I thought I was being, you know, incognito.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to figure out stuff without asking directly, but all I did was kind of confuse myself even more. All I made up a whole bunch of shit, you know, just blatantly lied to try and get what I needed to get.
You know, for me, I think it's similar to that, but yet the root of it is fear. So I would do that to protect myself because I was afraid that he was going to hurt me. And I'm like, but if I figure it out before you can do it, you're going to do it. And I'm going to be like, boom, I caught you and knew you were about to do it before you even did it. So I win.
You win. Safe. You win, but he still does it. So you're like, but I was right.
Exactly.
I was right. I can remember, you know, like I wasn't manipulative. I was a very good child, a great girlfriend. I didn't lie. I didn't see a need to. Like, I don't know why I was like this. I was just a very easygoing person. Didn't value, controlling people. So when I got into this marriage and this man would just make shit up, gee, when I say make shit up, like, let me see. the craziest thing that my ex-husband made up, it was nuts, man. This man hit me up. He was like, yeah, Paco from across the street said you've been hanging out with Tisha, this prostitute. I was like, what?
Oh, my Lord.
I was like, what? He said, what? He was like, yeah, I just wanted, you know, he said you've been hanging out with her and doing this, that, and the other. I was like, yo. So my attention directly went to the man who he said was watching me. And I said, so how often does he say that I'm with her? So he starts, yeah, like every other day. I was like, so he's been watching me? So he didn't think his lie out very good because it immediately scared the shit out of me. You just told me that I'm in this condo with these three kids and this man and his friends have been watching me move around. They know my schedule, know who I'm with. I said, that doesn't bother. And I just started to freak out. So then next thing you know what this motherfucker said? Calm down.
I don't even know, man.
He said, calm down. Calm down. I made the shit up. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with you? He lied on the kids. Well, he said, so the kids were with him one weekend. All right, this is my last ex story because I'm on my, this is day six of my no complaining fast.
That's so awesome.
So this isn't a complaint. This is me compassionately telling my story. These are facts.
About made up shit.
Yeah, about this is facts. This is real shit about fake shit. So, exactly. These people are fucking crazy. So he calls me and he has the kids and he's like, yeah, the kids been telling me that they ain't been getting to school on time. I was like, yeah, they're right. So honestly, our first year of living up north, they were late to school 72 times. Like my life was in shambles and the school knew what was up. So I was like, yeah, I can see that, but we've been pretty good. So he said to me, well, the kids said that you'd be going out, you know, and they be waiting up for you looking out the window because you be coming in at like 2 a.m. and they can't sleep. So he told the kids, like, that's illegal and I'm going to jail. And I'm like, what the? I said, look, girl, I pulled over. I said, put them goddamn kids on the phone. They some motherfucking liars. I said, I am on my way to come beat somebody's ass. I said, don't nobody be lying on me. I said, somebody is lying their ass off. Who leaves? Who does? So next thing he like, calm down, calm down. I made the shit up. Why is you fucking with me? What did you want? What did he want from me? He wanted something, and I didn't give him what he wanted. I gave him what right. I needed to give him because he gave me some bullshit.
Yeah.
Crazy. He needed his ass checked. He needed an ass checking for that. But have you found yourself thinking about being manipulative or controlling or caught yourself more recently and like you use your practice to check yourself before something crazy comes out of your mouth or before you start to kind of massage a situation into an angle that is more favorable to what you want versus than reality?
Yes, every single day. but just to give some examples so that, you know, it can like, so a picture can be painted. Rich just quit his job recently. And so now we are both basically home all the time with the kids, and we're splitting up the regular work week days between the two of us, so that we each can get a couple days in to do our own thing. And I recognize that it's been 2 weeks, and I recognize that both weeks, the days that I was home, this is new for Rich, so he's exhausted and a little grumpy. And, you know, the old me, that never sits well with me, because I'm always like, oh my gosh, like, how can I make this better? He's grumpy. This is like, did I do something? Whatever. So, but then like the defensive part of me is like, what the fuck? I didn't even do anything. I wasn't home. Like, why is he being grumpy? He should be happy to see me. But then, you know, the new me with this practice, what it does is it allows me to process all of what I just did in my head. So I take that pause and I go through these different reactions. And then I'm also able to, kind of guess what his reactions would be. And none of it would be good if I were to approach him in either of those. So what I said to him was, after I had taken my pause and really thought about how I can, you know, do this in a way that is going to benefit both of us and, you know, have a solution so that I'm not feeling uncomfortable, like I can't talk to him because he's so, you know, exhausted, and that he's not feeling so exhausted, like he doesn't want to talk and feel like I'm going to talk his ear off when all he does is want to go to sleep, you know?
Right.
So I'm able to now approach the conversation in a way that is, like you said, massaged, and I'm like, you know, I know this is new to you and it is exhausting. Like, what, when I get home, like, are you going to be most likely like going to bed? What is a good routine we can establish so that, you know, you can get your sleep that you need, and that, you know, we're both getting the attention that we needed from each other for the day.
Right. So it's not as though you are being triggered by what's true for him, right? Like, you're able to see this bigger picture of, he's not used to this. It is a new schedule. His adjustment to the schedule is on his time. He will find his way through it. What is my role? My role isn't to try and make it go away. My role isn't to take responsibility for how he feels about it. My role is to come back in, offer myself, and take over and do my job. Sometimes it's hard to watch our partners suffer and struggle. We take it personally when they suffer in front of us and don't take our advice to stop suffering.
I know.
And you know, I used to hate when my ex-husband would tell me what wasn't worth my energy. Like, don't be sad, that's not worth your sadness. Don't be angry, that's not worth your anger, right? Like, it was always somebody telling me, and he wasn't the only person, that my energy was being misspent. Mm-hmm. It was almost as though I was not allowed, right? So if I was rich, I'd be in my feelings also because, like, if you didn't let me be grumpy, that would piss me off.
Exactly. And I could easily, but in a way that would create that exact situation. Because I know I've been there. Like, I'm coming home happy, and you grumpy? No, we not having that. Like,
right.
We're about to be happy up in this piece. And he's like, no, I'm going to bed. You're crazy. These kids are crazy. Leave me alone.
Right, leave me alone. Let me be. I think it's been so empowering for me. This practice has helped me be comfortable with whoever is in my life, watching them move through their own emotions on their own time. And
right.
Sometimes I feel like that could make me, it definitely has changed how I relate to partners. I'm not as needy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I have very little to question. I have very little to have people explain. I give people space, you know, like, it's just, I don't want no smoke.
Yeah.
And I offer myself in a way that makes me comfortable. And if somebody is offering themselves and I would like something different, I have built the courage to ask for it. And I'm prepared for them to give me an answer or an action that is not favorable to me.
Right.
You know, like, it's weird. Like, when you start to work on a deeper level, you know, as you kind of brought up earlier, none of that shit matters. You realize how much you want somebody to do or be in a way that favors you, but you have yet to recognize that they're giving you what you want costs them immensely.
Right.
And we're constantly wanting others to deplete themselves on our behalf for us because we think that is what love is.
Well, and something that you said in, it might have been your Trigger Bish episode, has stuck with me about relationships, whether it's, you know, sexual or not, just relationships in general. When you're, you know, when you have these expectations of how somebody is supposed to treat you and react to you or do things for you, like, these are expectations that they might not even have any idea exist because you don't communicate that. So then their way of showing you love is just their way. And they really mean it. And you're like, this is a joke. Like, that's not how I want you to love me. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. Like, you said that. And I was like, man. Rich has said that to me so many times, like, Shay, I'm showing you that I love you. This is how I show you I love you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm not doing it in the way that you want me to do it, but I promise I love you.
Yeah.
And I'm now able to really believe that because my practice has allowed me to, you know, find this space where I can take what he's saying, take what you're saying, and then see the bigger picture and realize, you know what? That is the way he shows me that he loves me. And it might not be my love language. So I need to check myself before I wreck myself because this is a good person.
Yeah. So that was the love episode. That was number four.
Okay.
And it's so we're raised in our society about, like, what love is and learning love languages and filling up love banks. But really, the practice begins with loving yourself. And we hold our partners to such high standards that we have yet to accomplish in our own everyday lives. It's like you want your partner to watch you and to know and have this innate knowing as if you all are in one body. But you don't,
right.
You don't listen to your body when your stomach starts bubbling. You know, like you're still putting the same food
you're
in your body.
You're still shoving that food in your mouth.
You're still shoveling down in your pie hole, wondering why it is that you're not feeling good. You don't listen to yourself. You know, we have this intuition and we have this discernment that we don't necessarily use in our lives. And we have this expectation for everybody else to have this perception. Do you know how much energy it takes to know? You know, I think about like how you know your child, which that type right. of information and data starts to dwindle the older they get, right? Like the more autonomous they become, the less you know about them because the less they're willing to share. They don't share all of their ideas. They don't share all of their thoughts. They start to filter what they choose to give you. Even when you press it up out of them, that's where lies come from. I don't want to share. Right. But then we have these people that we expect, like, I've known you for 4 years now. You should know. What do you mean they should know? They should know what? And it's one thing to have communicated effectively, hey, this is what I really enjoy. You know, I really enjoy people who give me their full attention. I really enjoy people that have meaningful conversations. And that's even vague. What's meaningful to them might not be meaningful to you. What's meaningful to them is sharing their details, because guess what? Nobody in their life has ever, you know, been interested in the details. But in your opinion, meaningful means all about you, right? How do they feel about you?
right.
Well, you need to ask that question, you know? So I feel like when people start to practice or yoga comes into one partner's life, it can be transformative. It gives the other person the freedom to be who they are, right? Like how they respond. They get angry how they get angry. You no longer are attached to their emotions and what triggers them.
Yeah.
You know, you should be like, oh, okay.
You're right. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. And the great part is that now you, like, with all of the people coming to yoga and meditation and mindfulness, I just think about the different types of lessons that we have to teach our kids, you know?
Yeah.
Totally different.
Which is that it's okay to have all of these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to, you know, also express them. And it's also okay to apologize for expressing them too much.
Yeah. Sometimes I was an oversharer. So my therapist told me I was an oversharer. I had never heard that word before. But
man, I'm probably one too. But
I overshare. I used to overshare my ass off. Like nobody, I had to learn answer the question that was asked, and even if there's more, if I've satisfied the requirements of the answer, I don't need to give more to make my answer more truthful. You know, I had to learn how to be okay with giving what it is that was asked for. I don't need to put sour cream on there. You know, put a dollop on everything. Like, oh, just a dollop. I'm hungry.
I'm so good at doing that.
Or putting
I'm
a dollop, so like adding on some shit, like, oh, just throw that on there. You didn't
Man,
ask.
Man, and if that wasn't enough, here's some more for you.
Here's a doggy bag of truth. Take that
exactly.
home with you. That's so funny. All right. So, Shay, what advice would you give to a woman who is coming to this practice looking to gain insight on how to be a better partner, for example?
So my advice to somebody, you know, using or coming into this practice in hopes of being able to be a better partner or have benefits, manifest in their relationships this practice is about self-study, and you need to be intentional about what you're studying if you are trying to, you know, have some changes happen in your relationships. And that intention could look like you reflecting on situations where you walked away from your partner feeling bad about how you reacted. Because at the end of the day, we are in control of our own thoughts and words and actions. So if something that you did made you feel bad in your relationship, that is a great focus for you to really dig deep and figure out what needs weren't being met. Like, what is the root? Not how you could react differently, but what needs were not met. But next time that situation or something similar happens, you can pause and recall and to find the courage to seek what it is you really need.
There were a couple of words that stood out to me, like courage and self-study. I remember, like, when people say, when you point a finger at somebody, you have three more pointing back at you. And that's really what yoga is. You know, you have this, you know, you have these two eyes that look out. But then you have this beautiful opportunity with every single breath to continue to turn inward to see yourself. And often we're so focused on our partner and what we want them to do that we forget to just enjoy the access that we have. And that's not to say to be complacent or satisfied with being treated poorly, because we, on some level have chosen to be with our partners. And that's just a reminder, like, we choose to be where we are every single day. As a woman who left an abusive marriage, I'm very sensitive, you know, to when people say, just leave. It is not just that easy. When someone told me I was choosing to stay, it was the most painful thing to hear. And as soon as I was able to accept that as my truth, that I chose him, I was choosing to stay, I could get to the first step of accepting that I was afraid to leave. And this practice will bust your face wide the fuck open.
Man. Like, that's what I look like underneath.
Yeah. Right. It will bust it wide open. Your truth will come pouring out. And that shit is so hard to see. It's so hard. It's painful to realize that you, on some level, have been behaving or been influenced to be a person where you are living with no awareness and no choices. Like, you're just kind of like being moved around by life. So I love the fact that you said, you know, find the courage. And that's what my practice did for me. It helped me find the courage to face my truth. And also helped me face my truth about being a mother. I was a really shitty mom. I was a shitty mom. I couldn't be a really good mom. I was a victim, you know. I was depressed and couldn't figure shit out. So I had to take myself to therapy to be a better mom. And my practice helped me reconcile that. I felt horrible admitting, but then I found courage in recognizing that I have all of the power to do something about it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So I think we're going to wrap it up after this question. And I know everybody's wondering. So, and I, you know, I teach my sex flex class. I teach my sex flex class, and people ask me about yoga and sex. Somebody asked me the other day, like, man, do people like
enjoy, like, poses. I'm like, look, let me be honest with you. People don't get into the, like, you don't have time to get into the pose. Like,
and if they only really knew, like.
If we could get there.
Holding the pose.
If we could get to the pose, you know, like, there's a transition, you know, from point A to Zen pussy. But we. We cannot get to Zen pussy because, you know, we backing it up in Bhaktasana and they can't take it.
And right.
There's no getting to the divine.
Man.
So how would you, you know, say yoga has been for your sex life?
You know, yoga has not only physically improved it, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally, because, you know, I have a lot of things that are that come to surface when we do start to become intimate. And because of my practice, I'm able to, you know, breathe through them and be like, look, he really wants to be here with you, and you got some bomb Zen pussy, so let's do this.
Why did I just hear, who had that song, ooh, but you got the bomb, it was Dog Pound, you got some bomb Zen pussy, ooh, you got the
bomb. Man, I that is so old. That song is so old, and I know what you're talking about, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the Dog Pound. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to find that.
There it is. But, you know, when it comes to, like, everybody wants to know about the physical, hell yeah, that shit. That, yes, my practice has helped. I mean, I can now put a leg behind my head that I wasn't able to do before, so you tell me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's
you can edit that out if you need.
I'm not editing shit. Nope. That was your confession.
Man, that was your confession. That was for real.
Your leg can go behind your head and your husband enjoys it. I'm like, now can now you know what? Yeah, I would have to see if both of y'all legs was behind your head at the same time. Like, okay. Right. You know what? Like just you know, you can post a slight image on Instagram.
We got Pixar. We can
and that's the
touch it up.
That's the one thing I also love about the practice is the lightheartedness and the curiosity and the playfulness that it brings to relationships. Everybody's body changes, and you know, realizing that, you know, you as an individual have your own issues with how you feel about yourself, not just you, but the gen pop you that's listening, that your partner also has. You know, I have found myself, you know, wondering, like, have I said something offensive? You know, men are very fragile. You know, so saying things about their hair or about their bodies or not saying things affects them the same way that it affects us. Where we don't touch them also means something. You know, when people are like, oh, I hate feet. Feet are disgusting, you know, and you have to lay in bed with your feet curled up every night feeling disgusting is hard. So it does make you much more mindful about what you say, how you say it, where you touch people, how you touch people, asking people, you know, what do they need and want versus, you know, do you like this? It can definitely improve communication about everything, which will lead to deeper, more intimate connections. And I will
preach.
Say, I know, and you're not up here hurting the next. Well, you might be hurting in a good way.
In a good way, walking funny,
right? I'm just thinking, like, I don't even know what took me so long to think of Zen pussy. Like, now that's it's like genius. The best thing ever. So,
man.
Shay, I want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, being on Confessions of a Trap Yogi. thank you were a part of my very first classes. You helped me do the, you know, you helped me do the partner poses for, you know, when I was first teaching the class.
Gosh,
I know
hell
it seems
yeah.
like so long ago. Like you've just been such a brilliant soul to rock with. I really, really do love you from the bottom of my heart. And I asked you, you know how we do it here, you know, to grab a affirmation, a hip hop quotable. So we're gonna leave everybody with that. Do you have your lyrics that you picked, or you want me to close us out?
I mean, I got them. I got them.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna let Shay.
I don't want to do Method Man any injustice, but I think that, you know, the 11 times my husband has seen Wu-Tang in concert, and the I think 3 or 4 that he's taken me to, I think it'll make up for it.
Okay, all right. So we got this episode's hip hop quotable, none other than Method Man. So yeah.
All right. We on another level of planning, of understanding, the bond between man and woman and child, the highest elevation, cause we above, all that romance crap, just show your love.
Nice. Well, everybody, once again, I want to thank Shay for joining me. Make sure you follow her on all of her social media. Check me out, NeelaKMarshall.com, Kells the Yogi on Instagram, and on Facebook. It's been a pleasure, and make sure you show your love every single day. Peace, y'all.
Anytime you need me, for real, girl, it's me in your world. Believe me, nothing make a man feel better than a woman. Queen with a crown, that be down for whatever. There are few things that's forever. My lady, we can make war or make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was something. That's why I'm with you to this day, boo, no frontin'. Even when the skies were gray, you would rub me on my back and say, baby, it'll be okay. Now that's real to a brother like me, baby. Never ever give my pussy away and keep it tight, alright? And I'ma walk these dogs so we can live in a fat ass crib with thousands of kids. Word life, you don't need a ring to be my wife. Just be there for me and I'ma make sure we be living in the fucking lap of luxury. I'm realizing that.